You ever had anyone make this statement to you? Well, that's a no-brainer. Y'all know what that means? If something is a no-brainer, that's when someone tells you something or asks you something, and the answer is so obvious that you'd have to be a complete nincompoop to miss it. Now, I'm not going to ask how many nincompoops we have in here this evening, because I might have to raise my own hand to that. You know, for example, you can be driving down the road, and all of a sudden you come up on a fork in the road, and the sign on the left side says go left, and the sign on the right side says bridge out. Which one are you going to take? Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? No one's going to take that right road because it's heading for a bridge or where there is no bridge. So no one's going to do that. You know, we really make choices all the time that are what you would call no-brainer choices. We make them every day. I want to suggest to you tonight that there are many choices in our spiritual lives that are also no-brainer choices. And I'd like for us to discuss three of them this evening. First of all, there is a God to serve. Here is an absolute fact. I don't care who you are, where you come from, how much money you have or don't have, whether you own your own home or whether you rent from someone else, whether you drive a Rolls Royce or a Chevrolet. You serve a God. Even the atheist and the agnostic who denies the concept of a God serves a God. Your God may be an idol. It may be an image like many serve throughout the times of the Bible. And even today in modern times, many people serve this image or an image. Your God may be your pocketbook. It may be your riches, your possessions, and you may be like the rich young ruler or the rich farmer or Ananias and Sapphira or someone like them. They served a God. Your God may be your family. Your God may be your job. But don't kid yourself. You serve a God. But you know, in reality, there are only two gods to serve. There is the God of this world and the God of eternity. Paul mentions both gods in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, little g, God of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, big G, or Jehovah God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, as I have already said, and how what Paul is saying here, we will serve one of these two gods. Little g, God of the world. Big G, God of eternity. Now we know that the God of the world, of course, as mentioned by Paul here, is Satan. Satan is a fallen angel who refused to serve God. He is the hellish father, worthy of hell, as we read in many scriptures throughout the Gospels. Jesus, when speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he told them, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus also tells us that those who choose to serve the God of the world, their fate will be the same as his. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We, on the other hand, are to serve the God of all eternity. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Here we find the description of what kind of love we need to have for the God of eternity. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. Jesus tells us that we are to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, God, in heaven. It is the God of eternity that we pray to. We reverence His name with our prayers. It was part of the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We honor Him through prayer. We seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and in return, all things are added to us. So it's a no-brainer. We serve a God. Be sure that you serve the right one. There is a God to serve. There is a prince to follow. We will follow either the prince of the air or the Prince of Peace. Now, the Prince of the Air, again, is referring to Satan. And I want you to listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this worldly prince in Ephesians chapter 2. You may want to turn over there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says here, "And you He made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Is this the kind of prince that you want to follow? We need to follow the other prince, the Prince of Peace. Listen to Isaiah's prophecy concerning him, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus came to give us peace, and he came to leave peace with us. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because Christ is giving us peace. He is greater than the world that gives us trouble. John chapter 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So it's a no-brainer. We want to serve the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of the Air. The Prince of the Air brings us destruction. Prince of Peace gives us just that. Peace. So there is a God to serve, there is a prince to follow, and there is a plan to obey. I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that Satan's plan leads to death. It always has. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And let's read together Satan's plan. Beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, What, you will not surely die? For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So here we have the tree of life. Adam and Eve knew about the tree of life. We have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve knew about this tree too. The command was given, don't bother the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Leave it alone. If you bother it, you will die. Eve knew that. But Eve also heard Satan. And she believed Satan. And she wanted this ability to be like God. And as a result, she ate the fruit. She disobeyed. And she turned from God. Adam, he knew about the tree. But Adam listened to Eve. Believed Eve. And obviously wanted the same ability to be like God. And as a result, he ate the fruit, disobeyed, and turned from God. They obeyed Satan. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Adam, Eve, do you realize what you have just done? You have chose the God that you are going to serve. And you chose the wrong one. Do you not realize that you chose death over life? Because Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that's what you did. My friends, we do the very same thing. Every time we choose the God of this world over the God of eternity, every time we choose the prince of the air over the prince of peace, every time we choose the devil's plan over God's plan, we do the very same thing. We choose death over life. The devil's plan is death. It is destruction. It is for you. It is for me. And he wants to trap us all. And he has at one time or the other. And if you are with God today, he is going to try to do it again. Because that's what he does. God's plan is death to sin. And that means that it is life. God's plan is to hear the word that he has given to us. God's plan is to believe that word. God's plan is to turn from Satan and to turn from sin and repent of your sinful ways. God's plan is to confess Jesus as the Lord, as the Son of God, as the one that we want to follow. God's plan is to obey the Lord just like the people did on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. That's God's plan. And the result of God's plan is beautiful. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They have no need of lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. They shall reign forever and ever. My friends, it's a no-brainer. You choose the God of eternity over the God of this world. And tonight I'm pleading with you, if you need to give your life to the Lord, we give you that opportunity tonight. And as a Christian, if you have listened to the God of the world and you have turned away from the God of eternity, you can come back to the God of eternity and live for Him. Once again, your sins be forgiven. Once again. But you have to make that move. And we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Remember, you serve a God. Which God do you serve? God of the world or the God of eternity? Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.